Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy hot Tuesday to you. Another swelterer coming up, huh?
It was a hot Monday.
It was a hot Monday.
And we spent all day together.
Why? Okay, let me ask you something. Did you get any bites?
No, which is weird.
What is wrong with my ankles? And I showed you, Jim, I had six fly bites. It wasn't even just mosquitoes. So it's almost like the black flies were biting me right through my sock. And that's why I told you, you guys laughed that time when I said I'd spray my socks with some Raid sitting by campfires.
Yeah.
That's why they bite me. They want my ankles so bad, they bite right through my socks.
Yeah, I have a theory, though, on that after thinking about it yesterday. Because you got to take a step back and look at the day. So what was I drinking?
Oh, here we go.
Water.
Always turns to this.
What was I drinking? I was drinking water and iced tea. That's what I had. And it was really hot. Like, it was...
It was... Well, we were... Even the people, Todd, that would come to our hole, they were like, wow, is it hot here?
Because we're kind of
down in a swell.
We're a little bit down in, and it was hot. We're at hole 8 at Oneida. And John, you were drinking double vodka.
I had two for the entire day. For 6 hours we were out there, I had two.
And I think that
you think vodka is?
I think that's what attracted them, because we were at the same hole, sitting in pretty much the same area, and he was getting bit up and I wasn't. Right, John?
I had two for 6 hours.
Do you eat a lot of bananas or not?
No.
Okay.
Why would that attract him?
Well, I actually did some research on this the other day after you were talking about getting bit up. Bananas are the number one thing they say. When people eat bananas, they are targeted by mosquitoes and bugs.
Really?
That's interesting.
That is very interesting.
Smelly cheese. If you eat a lot of cheese,
John?
Limburgers.
No,
but cheese in general can create a substance on your skin.
Nah, they should have been biting me.
You eat more cheese than I do.
Yeah, I do. I like cheese.
But they say the things that keep it away: basil, sage, rosemary, grapefruit, and garlic or onions. So maybe rub some onions on your ankles.
Or get some garlic from Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Actually, you know what I was reading about? Because my tooth last night was driving me insane.
Yeah.
To the point of insanity. I was doing 1:30 this morning. I took over 20 pills yesterday. Over 20, between Tylenol and Advil, I think it was 21.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a lot.
But here's the deal. But I think my nerve is exposed. Where the tooth broke, I think it's now exposed.
And you're going in today.
But anyway, here's the deal. So I've been putting this, I was gargling with... warm salt water.
Yeah.
Didn't do a thing. I was putting that ointment on. I told you I bought that stuff that you rub on there with your finger on your gums. Didn't do a thing. But it said one of the home remedies is chop up fresh cloves of garlic and onions and put them together real good. And then I think it's a teaspoon of salt to bring it all together or something. And they said rub that on your gums. You'd be amazed at how much that helps.
You'd be alone. Wow.
Yeah, that one.
You know, Todd, that garlic, are you talking about like internal garlic? Like, I wonder if you rub the garlic on you, or if it's you can sweat garlic.
You can. I think it's in general. Like if you have an herb garden or something like that, and you got the basil, sage, rosemary, and all that.
But to eat them or put it on stuff?
I think like even just outside, if you have, let's say, a deck and you're setting up chairs and
stuff. Oh, I gotcha.
Put some of those plants around.
I want to say maybe, and I think Todd might be onto something here. I had Sunday, I cooked on the grill the beef tenderloin, and then I seasoned it, but then I took the garlic and cut up the cloves and put them inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and my mom used to do it for roasts.
And then that's what I had, so.
That's good.
Well, no, that, I think.
Maybe it kept them away.
I think it did, because. I mean, that's what I had.
Saw it. I mean, they're biting me through my sock.
It was weird.
And you saw six bites after like 10 minutes, and nobody else had a bite.
Right.
They attack my ankles for some reason. Like, I can't.
But that's not the only time, though. You said this happens.
Well, when I was out at the deer camp.
Right.
Yep. When I've had backyard things just in my own house, my own whatever. Yeah. Craziness.
But so, it was fun. We raised
money.
But
that's why I squirt Raid on my socks.
Yeah, I don't think you should have Raid on your skin, though. Isn't that D2 stuff? Yeah.
Again, if that's the thing that's going to bring me down, okay. Get ready for the eulogy.
That is true.
John put some Raid on his ankles. We had. And that's what did it.
Right. Really? Because we had brats.
Out of everything he's been through?
Yeah, we had brats and cheeseburgers and everything else. So.
Nice.
It was fun.
Who do you got there, Todd?
Nobody yet. But coming up at 6:30, just nailed it down. Our civic media news director, Terry Bell, will be with us from the RNC in Milwaukee.
Okay.
Right. That is going to be interesting. You talk about the atmosphere. You know, I don't know. You and I both been to a lot of political things, but it just seemed like there's a little more energy there last night.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. It almost reminded me of the old ones.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah. With everybody
like 68 and there you go for Nixon or whomever.
Just like really
exactly. Everybody's wearing the hats and doing the crazy stuff. And,
yep.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This one had just a, you know, and I saw some of the interviews and, you know, there's people, well, even some of the speakers, right? Scott, that just divine intervention, like they really think they're on a magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess they can believe that, right? Because it was unbelievable what happened on Saturday. But, there's just a lot of, I don't know, it's more than energy. It's like this whole ambiance of like this almost a spiritual thing that it just.
Almost like what's it called?
Revival?
Revival. Actually, that's what it reminds you of a little bit, kind of. Yeah. You're right.
Anyway, it'd be interesting to, you know, JD's giving his speech tomorrow and then, of course, Trump on Thursday, so yeah.
All right.
I just, you know.
Boy, I'll tell you that Secret Service is still under fire.
Oh,
I mean, more and more
well, is coming. Should be.
Where people were pointing the guy out.
Yeah, as they should
They're
be.
Like, look, right there.
Yeah. So they interviewed the Secret Service director. What's her name?
That woman, yeah. I didn't see the interview. I saw that she was being interviewed.
And
is she the one that couldn't get the gun back in her holster?
No.
A different one. So I said, do they really need to give such complicated holsters to Secret Service people?
Yeah, and I just think, I told you yesterday that I think one of my biggest concerns was after he got shot at, the Secret Service were asking questions, and that is not a time to ask questions.
No.
That should be so protocol, so just.
But like I said, my brother who was in law enforcement his entire life, when he said they lifted him up, which made him a bigger, better target than he had ever been at all day. He couldn't believe it. Are you kidding me? Why aren't there four bodies on top of him?
Right.
That was the worst Secret Service thing of all time. Well, I think that might be the lowest moment in Secret Service history.
She didn't say that, but this director kind of said she was, she's more like shocked and then disappointed or embarrassed or something. Like she knows.
Should be all those things.
She knows what you're saying. And then the guy said to her, look, you know, where does the buck stop? And she said with me, he goes, well, then you're in charge of this.
Then resign?
Yeah. Well, she's got at least.
Kind of reminds me, remember, who was the comedian did the thing about the worst Secret Service thing of our worst police thing of all time was the Lee Harvey Oswald walk from the cell to the whatever. And it's like, Ruby. It's like, boss, we got the owner of the local nudie joint here, and he's got himself a handgun. What do you think? Oh, hell, let him in. Same type of thing.
And we're still talking about that.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, this definitely was an epic failure. They're just, and like you said, in the more and more videos coming out.
Has the Secret Service, I don't need Secret Service getting on my butt, but have they ever really prevented anything totally?
Well, they stepped in front of Reagan's.
Reagan got shot. Mm-hmm. What's his name got paralyzed because of it.
Yeah.
So they didn't stop anything.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the bullet wound to Reagan could have been fatal. Yeah.
I just remember in high school.
Kennedy was terrible.
Well,
those guys were all out till like 4 in the morning
I was
getting
just
hammered.
Say, in civics class, and the reason I kind of took a little bit of interest in this, I think, when I was a freshman in high school, is our teacher talked about that. Those guys were out partying.
Mrs. Kennedy even told one of the guys, you know I protected you guys, what I could have talked about.
Yeah.
Because they were out, they got blitzed the night before.
They did. They were not on their A game at all.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it. You know, but did you see the Secret Service last night when Trump came in? I mean, it was just a wall of guys. I mean, there's, like they had the
But
nothing's going to happen yesterday.
Another one, again, if somebody wants to get somebody, they're going to get them. George Wallace?
Oh, yeah.
Was that in Milwaukee?
No.
Wasn't it? Didn't Wallace get shot in Milwaukee? Because my brother had actually worked security for him like the week before. He was in like Marquette. And my brother worked security for it, for George Wallace.
Did he get?
I thought he got shot in Milwaukee.
I don't, you know what? I don't know. I got to look that one up. Okay. Yeah, but you're right. I do think if, you know, someone's demented and
right.
that they're going to probably find a way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tougher.
Or even the Pope. Didn't the Pope get shot one time?
Oh, yeah. And he went and forgave the guy?
Yeah. I would have done the same. I would have done it like, you remember in Godfather 2 when the mom goes in, my Angeloni is my lonely son. Please don't hurt him. He would grow old and then look for revenge on me. And he goes, on the death of my beloved Angeloni. And she stabs him in the throat.
Oh, man.
If I was the Pope, I would have done that.
You know what I would
I think the Pope stabs man in throat.
Well, the Pope, you know, went and visited this guy in jail.
That's what I mean. And I would have visited and then pulled something out.
I would have done the knife thing. I would have done what that guy did where, you know, you're not going to be able to shoot me because you can't shoot me with a broken finger. And I just
Yeah, what movie was that?
That said, what's his name? Wasn't that guy thinking of running for office? He's a Texas guy, right? I mean, he lives there, but Kevin, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
But he took that guy's finger and goes, you're not going to be able to
shoot me.
Guys, what do you mean? Because you can't shoot
with a broken
finger.
That's right.
He breaks it. He broke it,
and
too.
I just saw that, too. I can't think of the name of this. So we got a big lineup today.
Yeah,
as Todd mentioned, Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director from the RNDC, or the RNC.
Yeah.
Tim Strube, interesting guy. He's writes for ESPN, the magazine, and a lot of other. He sent me a bunch of his feature stories. Did I send those to you, Todd?
No, I didn't see those.
Just some really interesting ones, human interest stories. Like one of them he sent me was, and this wasn't a sports one. He did a lot of the sports ones, but I forget what magazine this was for. And it was like, how do professional escorts date when they just like somebody and they want to date?
What? Why are we talking? We're talking about that today?
Well, no, but I'm just saying those are the kind of stories.
Top story on our list today,
yeah.
Jim. Good morning.
Good morning, listeners. 6:18.
Dennis Rockhill and Kim Lemberger, Einstein Project.
That's a
Green
great,
Bay.
That's great, a great
project.
Organization.
Bruce Harrison, NBC 26, Neighborhood Focus. Brandon Kennard, NBC 26, talking about the new controversial ruling by the WIAA that if you win too much, it's a weighted scale. You have to jump up in class.
Whether you're that size or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we got a full boat, ladies and gentlemen. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mono the Mary here on a, 87 degree day again today, I believe.
Tomorrow's going to be cooler, though. Tomorrow's like in the 70s, so I just another day of this.
Green Bay, 70 degrees. Appleton, 70. Oshkosh, 73. A National Spinach Day. I like spinach dip.
Yeah?
Spinach dip is good.
I think that's really good for you, though.
Yeah, it is.
That's
got spinach.
Yeah, it's like all that stuff you eat and then you have a diet.
I disagree with that because spinach, no matter what, you're putting it in your body. So at least the benefits of spinach are still coming into your body. Maybe with a little cream cheese or whatever you mix with it, but you're still getting the spinach.
All right.
National Snake Day. Did not know snakes had a day.
Pass.
Guinea Pig Day. All right. Cherry Day. Not a fan. Corey Feldman. Not a fan. Will Ferrell.
It's Cherry Day?
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to go cherry picking.
Oh, God.
Today?
Yeah, I might.
Just out of the blue?
Well, yeah, I'm going to go this
week. Are
they
ripe already?
Yes, right? Isn't it like prime time? And I'm going to go to that place, and there's a lot of places to go, but I like the place where you give them like an extra, after you pick your cherries, you get like a bucket or a half bucket, whatever you want, and then they pit them for you. And have you seen that? That's an awesome, whoever invented that, I hope he makes a lot of money. Or she.
I haven't, but I think we talked about it one time.
Anyway, that's where I'm going.
Do you have to do it one at a time, though?
No. You go through you pick your cherries, right? And then you go and you got to go through the wash. You wash them. There's like three different, you know, you walk the initial one and then another one and then another one. You wash them. And then you put them back in a bucket. They're like super clean. And then the guy just takes the bucket and he just rolls them onto this like belt, which has all these little like places for cherries, and it gets them all straightened out. It's pretty cool how it happens. And it's just perfect. And then it just goes through and it's this huge pitter that goes through like all these needles at one time. And you know, you just stand there for like, I don't know.
I've never seen this in operation.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of cool though.
I think it's in Maplewood. Pretty okay. Sure. We went last year. Anyway, this is the prime week this week. So that's cool that it's.
Then what do you do with them?
Well, I'm just going to have somebody. I don't know. What am I going to do with the cherries?
Yeah.
I'll probably put some on ice cream. And then I'm going to give them probably to the shelter to make cherry torte or cherry pie or something. I'm not a huge cherry eating fan.
Me neither. That's what I'm getting at.
But I don't know. It's fun to go. So, yeah, I think.
You ever have choke cherries? Choke cherries in Wisconsin? They're so bad, you literally take one and it closes up your throat.
Is that because of the alcohol?
Because of the alcohol. What are you talking about?
Isn't that like Bounce or whatever? What are choke cherries?
I'm talking about picking a choke cherry off a tree.
Never heard of them.
That's what I'm asking.
Its own brand?
Yes.
It's called a choke cherry.
Called choke cherries.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? Okay, well.
I've never. Why would you brand something choke cherry? But why would you call it
throat
that?
Once, because if you eat one, your throat basically, you choke.
Well, then how? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me that you would brand something choke cherry because nobody's going to eat it.
Well, no, the idea is you're not supposed to eat it.
But so they're poisonous cherries.
Well, they're not poisonous per se, but they really. You've never heard of choke cherries. Anybody from the UP out there ever hear of choke? Todd, you ever?
I have, of course.
Yep. Thank you. Everybody's heard of choke cherries. Every human being listening to this show has heard of choke cherries. And they used to make choke cherry wine. Never heard of choke cherry wine? You have not heard of choke cherry wine?
It's early.
The cherries, the choke cherries, humans can eat them, but like you said, they're not very good.
Terrible.
They can actually kill horses, though, because there is a cyanide is in there and other toxins. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, do you know where it's called choke cherries?
I just can choke a horse.
Here's Star. Here's Star.
Star! Come here, I got some really good berries for you. Good boy, Star. Have some more.
Okay, stop. I'm going to have bad dreams.
Yeah.
Wow. No.
Hey, so how did the guppies turn out?
They're still there. They're still swimming.
Okay, swimming around.
No, they are. They're still swimming around.
Will you feel bad if he eats them?
No, because the lady said that it's good for a dog to eat a guppy. She told me that.
Can honestly say I've never heard of a dog eating a fish. In any kind of a dog, any kind of whatever, I've never heard of a dog eating a fish in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, they like them and they're good for them. That's what she told me.
Okay.
So that's why I bought him.
Does that go along with your salmon diet you feed him?
Well, that's different. Salmon and sweet potatoes.
He eats sweet potatoes?
And salmon.
Yeah. Your dog eats sweet potatoes. I've never known a dog to eat a vegetable.
You buy it. It's sweet potatoes and salmon.
All mixed together.
Yeah.
But like if I'm chopping sweet potatoes at home, I'll give some. My dog will eat it.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Our dogs didn't eat potatoes. We had finicky beagles. They wouldn't eat bread either. Does your dog eat bread? Our dogs would not eat bread.
He can't, but I don't know if he does. He doesn't.
Why can't he?
Because we don't give it to him. I mean, he doesn't eat table food, which is great. And that was something that we didn't do with our other dogs. I'll admit that. He will sit right next to me when I'm having dinner. He won't eat that food because he knows that's not his food. His food is his food.
Okay, but you know what I get kick out of?
But what I think, that's why. So to Todd, why doesn't he eat bread? He hasn't had that opportunity.
Oh, I just thought maybe he had allergies.
A carb
thing. Right. Yeah. Watch his weight.
Yeah. But here's the deal. People put down table scraps. So you're basically saying your dog is too cool to eat what you eat? I mean, the table scraps are, we'd have a nice meal of steak or roast.
No.
And we'd have the scraps and the dogs would love it. Mm-hmm. Why is that such a bad thing, giving them table scraps of something that you've just had for Sunday dinner?
Yeah. I don't think that's good for them.
But why? If it's good for you, why isn't it good for them?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. The doctors tell you that he shouldn't eat that table food.
What doctors have told you that?
The veterinarians.
Really?
And then we buy their food.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what kind of table scraps you're giving them. Like if you're giving them meat and potatoes or whatever, I think that's fine. I think it's when you throw in a lot of that processed stuff we eat now. And, you know, it's probably not good for dogs or whatever.
But the other thing is if you do feed them your table food, then they're going to be bugging you when you eat. And I don't want that. You know what I mean? So if he doesn't, if he knows, like, I'm not going to have this.
Or are they going to bug you while you eat where they're out in their pen outside?
That's right.
Am I missing something here?
On
his chain.
Exactly. What am I missing here? I tried inventing something one time that I thought would have been, I think this is very plausible.
Okay.
Because the water would always give him the water, you know, in a coffee can. Like Folgers coffee
can. That's got metal that could cut his tongue.
Oh, my God. So anyway, but then, you know, the next day would be a frozen solid, you know, chunk of ice. So what I tried to do.
Like a salt block.
Listen to me. This is what I try to do. Do you remember you used to get those little things? You'd order them from like three cereal box tops and whatever. And you get these little boats from your bathtub. They're run by, remember those little motors? And they have a propeller and go around your bathtub. Remember those?
No.
You never ordered one of those?
No.
Okay. You're the only kid I know that never ordered one of those. But I was thinking if I could hook that up in their water, it would keep flowing. Thus, it wouldn't freeze.
Okay. That's not, first of all, it's not an invention. That's been around since time. Like your bird feeder. How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there. Those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze? You don't have one.
You don't know that.
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
Gave him that
I
as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it. I want it back.
No, you know what? But I like it like almost in Snoopy.
You're right,
in the winter, the birds use it as a little skating rink. We got to send her a break back after this.
Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good looking Tuesday morning at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS. And of course, the Civic Media app, 70 degrees in Green Bay right now, 70 in Appleton, 73 in Oshkosh. And of course, the biggest thing happening. And again, in the world, in some ways, not to over, but the Milwaukee is the place where eyes are focused on throughout the world. And Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Jim, take it away.
Yeah. Terry, that's got to be, I just watched a little bit of it last night. I mean, the energy there, and you've been to a number of these conventions. I mean, is it true what they say? It's like just unbelievable atmosphere? For the Republicans.
Something I've seen before. But for the Republicans? Well, yeah, I mean, when you're there, I mean, you're with, you know, thousands of people who are rowing in the same direction. So, you know, there's a pretty upbeat feeling. Things got started Monday. Some concerns, a lot of concerns. One, about the former president. And two, about how safe people might be.
Right.
But as the day went on, everyone let their guard down a little bit and, you know, walking around the campus between Panther Arena and Pfizer Forum, you know, it was very much had a street festival kind of feel.
That's cool. How about the protesters? Are you seeing some of that? What are you media, you're across the street, right? You're not in the Pfizer Forum, or are you?
Yes, I am. So there's the inside the hard perimeter, which includes Panther Arena,
right.
Pfizer Forum, and the Baird Center. So
cool.
You can walk freely with the proper credentials between those places. And so not seeing a lot of protesters very close. The protest zone is some distance away from the hard perimeter. But there was a big demonstration yesterday, thousands of people. Marched several blocks in downtown Milwaukee, and they got as close to the convention as they're allowed to by law. A coalition of protest groups had sued to be able to get closer. That was declined in the courts. So they got as close as they could without crossing that line, literally and figuratively.
So, what do you think about this? I mean, any surprises coming in? Were you surprised by J.D. Vance? I want to ask you that. But, yeah, I mean, again, these conventions pretty much follow the same routine. It's, I mean, it's got a lot of media attention, but nothing really newsworthy comes out of it. Are you sensing this is going to be a little bit different because of Saturday or because of, I don't know, the debate or whatever? I mean, is this going to be a different convention?
It is a sense that, one, J.D. Vance surprised me a bit, but not completely. It surprised me just from the sense of a lot of the positions that J.D. Vance had taken on early when he first stepped into the public spotlight. He was very much a never-Trumper at that point. Said some, you know, pretty critical things of Donald Trump when people first started pointing microphones at him. Then his views, or at least his public positioning, evolved over time to the point where he has become a very big supporter of Donald Trump. And he wants, I was surprised too, not only that, but because usually a running mate is someone you pick to broaden your appeal. And this is meant to, this would appear to be meant to shore up his own base, which I don't think is necessary. I think his base is with him, Trump, and isn't going anywhere. So it was surprising to me that he didn't choose somebody that might have made people undecideds on the fence maybe give him another look.
I thought the same thing, but we're talking with Terry Bell, who's a civic media news director and covers really all the news, but really understands and really drills down on the political side of things. How about the age thing, though? I mean, that's, he's young enough to be Trump's son, big time. Like, he's, what, 40 years younger than Trump?
Yeah, 39 years old, and if not the youngest running mate, he would be the one of the youngest vice presidents ever, if not the youngest. Yeah, and maybe that's part of the appeal, too. Maybe that's what he's... The thing is that many undecided voters are young. The research bears this out. People have maybe their notions about who an undecided voter is. Look, when you really look into the numbers, it's a young person who is having trouble getting established in life in the sense that, you know, jobs don't pay, the jobs they're looking for don't pay well, the cost of living is very expensive, they're really having a hard time, you know, obtaining the American dream, and they feel disenfranchised by that, and, you know, they make that known by sitting on their hands at election time.
We're talking with Terry Bell, civic media news director at the RNC in Milwaukee.
You know, and I think the other thing, I think J.D. Vance, and I have been reading about him a lot more lately, but he's got a pretty compelling story. You just mentioned that, you know, do you fit in? Am I going to be able to make it? I mean, he didn't grow up anything like Trump.
In Ohio, what he has acknowledged was a broken home. I think he was raised largely by his grandmother.
Right.
I think his parents were in and out of his life. And yeah, and overcame all that to, go to Yale, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Top of his class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is a remarkable story in that sense.
So I think those couple things, when I looked at, you know, I don't want to say that wouldn't have been my first pick, but after I read more about him and you find out, well, he's young, he's 39 years old, which is young, right? Especially compared to Biden and Trump. And then
Jim, let me ask you this. I want to jump in one quick thing. Yeah. You were pretty convinced Rubio. If I could just throw that out there, Terry, why this guy over Rubio? Because I'll be honest, when I mentioned to you, we were coming back from a golf tournament yesterday, and I mentioned, and Jim goes, what?
Yeah, we're in the car. It's JD.
So do you think this is an upset, Terry?
I don't know if it's an upset. Even though I was a bit surprised, people I talked to said they were not surprised at all. I'm guessing it's because I think what might have put it over the top for him in an interview, J.D. Vance said that he would have done things differently than Mike Pence did on January 6th. And I think that Trump, you know, love him or hate him, likes to surround himself with yes men.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be challenged.
Yeah, that, okay, yeah, okay. That's not great management, but whatever.
Let me ask you, Jim, on a less serious note.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Todd, did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't want to, I would never want to be surrounded by yes people. That's terrible management.
Oh, God. Did you have money on the vice president slot?
Did not bet on that one. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Todd, for letting people know that I have a little bit of a issue.
Gambling issue.
It's a trigger. So
what are we looking at down for today, Terry? What's on the docket down there?
Well, the theme of today is law and order in the southern border. So safety, especially after the president's going to make some hay with his assassination attempt on Saturday. He dropped by the convention last night, didn't speak, but he sat and watched the speakers. And Nikki Haley is going to speak tonight. And if you would have asked me 24 hours ago, I might have put my money on her. So I think that's a necessary show, because you got to remember, a lot of talk of party unity, and that's a theme today too. But in Wisconsin, 20% of Republican primary voters voted for someone else other than Donald Trump. So it would seem as though there are still a lot of Republicans who need some convincing.
Well, and that 20%, I would venture to say the majority of them went to Nikki Haley. I mean, I think she's great. I mean, I'm a fan of hers. I supported her. It's going to be interesting to see how strong she's going to come out, because, boy, she really dragged her feet on getting behind him.
I think she represents a good many Republicans, certainly not the majority, but a significant number of Republicans who have their misgivings about Donald Trump.
Right. And I think she can convince people. I'm very interested in watching her speech tonight, because I think it's really important. I think some of these other people, it's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of almost could write it for them. But I think she could be a difference maker in getting people to sit on the sofa or say, look, I'm getting energized. I'm going to get behind this organization.
Hey, so, Terry, we got a text here. Ask about the civic media coverage this week. And I'd just like to know, just as a member of the media, what is the security presence like down there right now? Because that can get a little overwhelming at times when you're just trying to do your job. And I've been there. I mean, not with that, but in different situations.
There are certainly a lot of uniformed law enforcement, but to casually observe, it would seem that they are walking around just like everybody else. I've not seen any kind of confrontation or anything. I mean, if you've been approved to get in that close, you're not there to cause problems for anybody. But certainly, you know, as you mentioned at the top of the segment, the eyes of the world are on this convention, and after the events on Saturday, security is a concern. You know, there simply just aren't enough bodies in Wisconsin to do the job. So a number of uniformed officers from around the country, as far as I could tell, just looking at some of the patches on the sleeves, you're seeing cities from all over the country representative come here. I'm guessing either volunteered or they're getting paid somehow to do this work. And, well, it's tough work. It was hot and humid yesterday.
Right.
And your job is to spend all day outside.
Yeah. So, Terry, civic media, you've been in the media business for, what, 20, 25 years? How
35.
35? Wow.
Yeah.
How is getting access to these people? You know, I mean, right, doesn't everybody want to do an interview, and from Ron Johnson to are they respecting the media? Do they want to talk to you, or is it more about them?
They want to reach out, especially we have a fortunate situation in Wisconsin. Matt DeFord, investigative journalist, actually helped facilitate what's called Wisconsin Media Row. So every political convention has an operation called Media Row. And that is where, literally the convention brings guests to reporters themselves available. Wisconsin Media Row, what that does, it allows news organizations from all over Wisconsin to go in together financially to pay for the space, because access is expensive for media companies. And there are a lot of outlets who just simply in Wisconsin that couldn't afford to be there and have a reporter and get access. So splitting the costs of Media Row and kind of, you know, going in, getting a group rate, if you want, different newspaper, TV, and radio outlets in Wisconsin have a special section. And Wisconsin being so important,
right.
Yes, they're bringing guests around. You can also schedule it ahead of time. Every morning, the Wisconsin delegation has a delegate breakfast at which there are speakers, which generally make you can, you know, quote them on the record. Brian Schibbing, the state party chair, gives a press conference,
yeah.
Makes one or two other people available. So, yes, there is access. No, you can't just walk up to anybody and you know, J.D. Vance or Nikki Haley and ask them questions if you happen to see them. But there is availability.
And that's pretty cool that Brian will work, because Wisconsin is important. I mean, and you cover the news for civic media for the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, Wisconsin, we could make or break this election. I mean, right? It came down to it. You know, it's us, Pennsylvania.
Quite true. Quite true.
It's yeah, cool.
It's Wisconsin and a handful of other states. Right. Maybe not even that many.
Wow. Well, Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, thanks for this great report coming from the right from the trenches of the RNC in Milwaukee. And it's pretty interesting. I mean, this is almost like it almost reminds me. I mean, you said 35 years you've been covering. That's nothing. That's child's play.
Johnny's been around.
Somebody our age. But, I mean, I remember watching the Chicago Democratic National Convention. Do you remember that, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Which was just
daily
crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's ever been as much interest in a convention since then in some ways.
Yeah.
With the bizarre things that have happened this week.
Yeah.
So you're right there, Terry.
Thanks
for
rocking. This,
man. Thanks for what you do for Civic Media.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. I would see you down there.
I would love that job.
I know you would.
I just, you know, I don't know. I'd call Nikki Haley and say, look, I want to talk to
and
you.
And she would call security.
Exactly.
What? Well, no, I was spare of green bean. Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Tuesday morning, 9:50 in the morning, 70 degrees in Green Bay, 70 in Appleton, 73 in Oshkosh.
6:50, Johnny.
What did I say?
9:50. Wishful thinking.
Painkillers.
Hopefully at 9:50 I got a Novocaine jammed into my gum. Anyway, we were both talking about something we should have asked Terry. How many people are there posturing for position? You know what I mean? For themselves.
Sometimes.
Because the Super Bowl is like that.
Well, at the political conventions, it's like, wait, I'm this congressman from
right.
Oklahoma. And, you know, I'm
available.
Right. You want to talk to me? You want to interview me? I'm working on this new piece of legislation that's going to, you know. And people go there. I mean, you should go there to support the candidate. But I think some people may have their own agendas.
Well, at the Super Bowl, it was a big thing on Radio Row. It's like, hey, would you like Jerry Rice to come on your show? Jerry Rice? You kidding me? Phenomenal. Fantastic. Yeah, he just needs 2 minutes to talk about the new nutritional supplement that he's working for. That happens all the time. But you know what? You'll take it.
Because
got Jerry Rice. You still got whatever. Yeah.
And I got to say, we've got great coverage down there. We're at the RNC all day. And then they do a wrap-up report at 7 o'clock tonight with Terry Bell and Todd Alba. So if you want to kind of watch it throughout the day, stick around with Civic Media. You can follow down our Facebook pages.
How come you're not a political reporter?
Yeah.
And now to Jim Schmidt at the RNC.
I'm going to be on the air. I'm on the radio.
I don't care.
Let go. I'm allowed to be here.
What? You're feeding your dog?
Don't you know who I am? Is that a service dog? What are you feeding him? You know what you should feed him? Guppies. You should feed him guppies.
Sir, please, Doug, contain yourself here. Let's talk about the interest.
I'm not kidding. My dog eats guppies.
Yep. Isn't yet, but
not yet, but he will.
He will. He will. I think politics, you know, with all the not good things about politics, it's really, really important to get good leadership in government. And I think government can work. I mean, they don't do this, they don't do that, bridge to nowhere, you know, deficit spending. But if you get a good team and a good leader, you can do some pretty cool things, and that can happen. And I would be interested in, like, if Terry ever needs an assistant.
I think it'd be right up your alley.
I'd go down there.
Oh, my gosh.
Todd, yes. I'd send him down there right now.
I'd go down there. I respect
your bags for a trip to Milwaukee.
No, I respect politicians.
No expenses paid trip.
One-way trip on Greyhound.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, so I'm right outside here the other night. And again, this is the third time now between you and me this has happened, Jim. A guy comes up and asks me for money.
Yeah.
Do you know why he said he needed money?
Bus fare, right?
To?
I don't know.
Where's he going?
Michicot. Remember I told you I was done a quick trip? The guy's, hey, man, you got any money? I'm trying to take bus trip to Michicot. Then didn't you tell me the same thing happened to you? They're going to Michicot? And the guy the other night, is that some code for something?
It's got
to
be.
Taking a bus to Michicot?
Look it up on Google.
What in the world?
Yeah, no. Wow.
But didn't that happen to you?
Yeah, and Michicot, the only thing, no, there was
no,
that.
Who's going to be going to Michicot?
Well, they had their 100th anniversary,
I know,
right?
But we talked like about it, but 6 months ago.
No, I know, I was a long
the guy
time
asked
ago.
Me for right. Michicot, and the other night, right outside this window, guy asked me for money, you know, to go to Michicot.
This is, I'm just thinking out loud here, should be careful. I think Michicot is one of those, like, wow, if you want to go there, that's okay. That's a good community. It's small, little community. It's, yeah, I'll give you money to go to Michicot. Like,
oh, where somebody would say, yeah.
I want.
Oh, you're going to visiting your grandma?
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to Michicot? That's, yeah. Okay, I'll give
sounds you harmless.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
good point. Maybe that's it. What's the most innocuous
right.
community in Northeast Wisconsin
that people that would be like,
to?
Okay.
Yeah, because if it's like, I'm going to Chicago or Milwaukee right. or whatever, you might think, oh, what are you doing there?
Right.
Yeah. But Michicot.
Yeah, I'll give you money to go to Michigan.
I did not. Huh. I've never given anybody a dime.
Well,
have you?
Yes.
Have you, Todd?
I really don't have people ask.
Okay. And it's funny coming from me, who once was on the street in downtown Phoenix asking people for money. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes, that's.
I would still like to get. I'd still like to know more about the people you see sometimes. Standing in certain areas, because the signs always say the same. Anything will help.
Yeah.
Homeless, anything will help. It's exactly the same signs you'll see all over town. Is that like a group of people that get together? How does that work?
How do they, you know, write the signs?
The exact same signs.
I think they, first of all, I do think, well, I don't want to be politically right here. I think the homeless community is better connected than I think people think.
Okay.
Like in terms of, like we just talked about, like, you know what works for me is asking for bus fare to Michigan.
Really? That's what I mean. It seems like there's kind of a connection.
This is where you can get your phone, or this is where you can get this or that.
Oh, okay. This makes sense. So somebody just texted this, and that makes sense. They're just trying to get to Two Rivers to see the barbershop quartet stage.
7 miles away.
That's what it is.
No, there is a little bit of a connection. And when it comes to signage, I don't know that there's a guy that says, look, I'll write your sign for you for $5.
But have you noticed they say the exact same thing?
Well, I think there's keywords is what I was going to say.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Because
we just got a text from a listener who said, did you ask him for money to get your tooth fixed? I can't give you bus fare, but hey, man, can you help me out?
You know what? I think that would work.
What?
Could you
letting people know that I'm on Medicare, I can't afford to get my teeth fixed.
If somebody would come up and ask you for money for food, it's like, you're not going to eat that. You're going to drink it. But if somebody comes up to me and say, look, man, I got this unbelievable toothache, and I'm trying to get some money to go see a dentist, I might give him money. Because a toothache is, like, you know, you can't do anything with a bad toothache. So maybe that, we'll see. Let's just see if we can hustle.
Do you want to test it out somehow, Jim?
Man, how you doing? Hey, listen, man, I got this unbelievable toothache, all right? And I'm on Medicare. I don't have dental anymore.
Right.
Hell, it's going to cost me a lot. I won't be able to feed my dog or anything.
Well, then I'd give it a double.
Can I just borrow some? I swear I'll get it back to you to get my tooth fixed.
I would never.
Whatever you can spare. Would you do that, yes or no?
You know, I'd probably.
Okay.
I would probably would. I'd probably give you 20
All right.
bucks.
Maybe I'll do that then.
But
give me 20
bucks. I think you should say, look, I have a really bad toothache. I want to go see this dentist. I went to see him. He goes, look, I got to give him a couple hundred bucks of cash. And I'm just, I got $40 right now. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, here's 20.
All right.
You got to get that tooth fixed, man.
It's not bad. I mean.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm going to go hustle.
All right. We guys did our break. Tim Struby from ESPN, the magazine. Dennis Rockhill and Kim Lemberger from the Einstein Project in Green Bay. Bruce Harrison, NBC 26 Neighborhood Focus. And Brandon Kennard, NBC 26 Sports Director, talking about the new changes on the WIAA that are very controversial. He's back after this.